we were in the Ein Yaakov, Daf Samach Beis, and the standard editions, it's Kuf Aleph Amud Beis. And the Gemara had been discussing modesty when one goes to the bathroom. So in the Gemara's times, the bathrooms weren't so modest. And so the last Gemara we saw was that if a person's going to go in a place where maybe the women are using the facilities, then he better not go in that direction. It's not nice. So this again teaches us modesty. A person shouldn't walk down a road where he might see things that are immodest. And if he has to, so that's what Abaye told the rabbis, if you're going to go down the paths of the city towards the fields, don't look to the right and the left, because very often the women would just sit just off the path to relieve themselves. So he told them, if you're going to go down the roads, you can't avoid those roads, so then don't look to your right and don't look to your left, because you know what you might see. I used to take a bus into Manhattan from my parents' home. The yeshiva, the Feinstein's yeshiva, was on the Lower East Side, and the bus would let me off. You guys know what Manhattan's like. Their main street is called Broadway. So there are all kinds of immodest things on the side. So yeah, that's this piece of advice. Don't look to your right and left. The billboards don't usually have something modest to show you. So the Gemara continues with the story. Rav Safra al the Beis Akise. Rav Safra went into a bathroom. At Rabbi Abba nachal le Ababa. So Rabbi Abba came along, made a noise by the door, and he wanted to check if the bathroom was available. So the Amalei Leul Mar. So Rabbi Abba. So Rav Safra was in the bathroom, and Rav Safra said, "Rabbi, go up." Bato de Nafak, after he left, Amale ad ashto loilit desir v'gamut lachmili desir. He said, Rabbi Abba said to Rav Safra, "You never visited Seir. The people of Seir are immodest in the bathroom, and you learned from Seir, even though you never visit there." La vachit nan, doesn't the Mishnah teach the following? That they had a special room where the Kohanim could heat themselves. They had a fire there, and they had a bathroom there. And the Mishnah describes in the temple, it was called Veta Kisesh Kavod, the honorable bathroom. V'zaya kvodo, what was honorable about that bathroom? Mitzon na'ul, if you came and found the door locked, you know someone's inside. Mitzo patuach, if you found it unlocked, so you understand that you know you could go in. So you see, it's disrespectful for a person to be talking when he's in the bathroom. So why is it that when I came to the door, I made a noise to see if anyone's inside? You could have made a noise to indicate that someone was inside. What were you talking and saying, Rabbi, go up from here? Meaning the student of Safra was in the bathroom, and when the rabbi came, he just made a noise. So when he came out of the bathroom, he asked him, "What'd you have to talk for?" And Rav Safra, the reason he was quick to say, "Rabbi, it's taken," was because he felt that the situation was dangerous. Why? Titania, Rashbag omer, Amud HaChozer mevit Adam nidrei hedroken. Rav Shem ben Gamliel said that if a person is in the middle of relieving himself and he stops midway, so then if part of his stool left the body and went back in, so then that could cause him to become sick with an illness that destroys the stomach. And so that's why he felt that if his rabbi is going to walk in when he's in the middle, he could end up becoming sick out of it. So he was quick to say, "Take in." So the rabbi was like, "Why didn't you just make a noise or something? Shuffle your feet, lock the door." And he felt it's a danger. The second thing the Gemara says is that if a person is in the middle of urinating and he stops midstream, so then also the Gemara says that could cause him some kind of illness. So I don't know, today I don't think any doctors would back this. It might not be the healthiest thing in the world, but I don't think doctors are so worried about the things the Gemara was. And we've said many times that things have changed from the days of the Gemara. Our schedules have changed, our diets have changed. So everything about our lives have changed. So it also makes sense that our medical conditions and needs have changed. Rabbi Eliezer ala bet akise. Rabbi Elazar ben Pidos went into the bathroom. Ata upasa dachke. So a Persian walked in and shoved him out. So he's in the middle of using the facilities, and this Persian doesn't care. He's like, hey, move over, Rabbi. Come over there, there's a fox. So Rabbi Elazar isn't going to sit there and fight for the space. He got up and left. So a snake came and bit him and took out the whole latter part of the digestive tract so that the man could never relieve himself properly again. Rabbi Elazar said, wow, that's the pasuk. It says, "Vayten Adam Tachtecha." I put a man in your place instead of Adam. We'll read it as Edom. I was sitting just where that snake was headed, and here this guy came and shoved me over. Hashem sent an Edomite instead of me to have the end of his intestines taken out. The verse says, "V'amalo gechav atachos alecha." King David says, "It was said to kill you, Saul, and I had mercy over you." V'amal, v'amalti. What does it mean? It was said. I said. King David describes how he was right there behind him in the cave, and I said to myself, "I could kill him now," and I didn't. Why does it say? Why does he say it was said to kill you? V'atachos alecha, and there was compassion over you. King David should have said, and I had compassion over you. So the simple reading is, he doesn't want to talk to his father-in-law, the king, that way. He doesn't want to tell King Saul, I was ready to kill you, and I had compassion over you. Out of modesty, he says, it was said to kill you, and then there was compassion over you. He speaks as a distant happening, not as though it was all me. That's how modest people talk. There's a very immodest person in the United States today. He speaks about how he took out bin Laden. He did all kinds of things. Part of the modest speech is that a person is hesitant before he uses the word I. He thinks many times. So that's the simple reading of this verse, that David HaMelech describes, it was said to kill you, and then there was compassion over you, and so you weren't killed when you were in that cave. But the Gemara is going to darshan it differently. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar ben Pidos Torah male David leShaul. King David said to his father-in-law, King Saul, Min haTorah haya mutar lehorgecha. Technically, biblically, I was allowed to kill you when you were there. My time, asher rodef ata, because you're trying to kill me. VaTorah amra ba lehorgecha shekem lehorgo. The Torah tells us, if someone's out to kill you, you kill him first. Yeah? That's a rule in the Torah. Someone comes to kill you, you kill him first. But because of the modesty I saw in you, that's what caused us to have compassion over you. Umayhi? What was the great modesty of King Saul? Dichtiv. It says, it says they came to this place, Gidrot Hatzon, and there was a cave there, and Saul went inside to spill out his feet. Notice how the Navi speaks modestly. Spill out his feet. That's the way the Navi describes going to the bathroom. Tana, what does it mean? Why is it Gidrot Hatzon? Why is the place called the fences of sheep? Geder lifnim migeder u'maran lifnim me'ara. There was a fence and another fence and a cave within a cave, and that's where King Saul went out of modesty. He needs to relieve himself. So he doesn't just go behind the fence, he goes behind two fences. He doesn't just go into one cave, he goes deeper into the second cave. Lehasech, it's described as he went to spill, or the word lehasech could also mean to fortify. Amar Rabbi Elazar melamed shesichech atzmo kesukah. Rabbi Elazar says this teaches us that King Saul, he's all alone as far as he knows. He doesn't know in the back of the cave there's David and his men. He thinks there are two fences outside, and he's inside a second cave behind those two fences. He made a little wall around him, meaning he set up some stones around him out of modesty. He thinks he's all alone in the cave. There's another cave and two fences. But when he's going to relieve himself, he's going to be super modest. But no one's seeing and no one's there. He doesn't know it. Behind him, there's a whole battalion inside the cave. As far as he knows, he's all alone. Out of the extreme modesty of King Saul, he sets up a little fence, a little bathroom inside the cave before he relieves himself. And when David saw that, that's when David said, I'm not touching him. That's the anointed one of Hashem. Look at how modest he is. David got up and cut off the corner of King Saul's coat in secret. Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina taught, anyone who derides clothing ultimately will not benefit from them. King David was old, they covered him with clothing, and he wouldn't get warm, he kept being cold. And this is a Gemara that we'd hear every year as children. The Rebbe would tell us when kids wouldn't hang up their coats, when they just dropped their coats on the floor. So the Rebbe in Cheder would always quote this Gemara. King David was cold at the end of his days because he didn't respect clothing. People who don't respect clothing end up having arthritis or whatever it is, they're cold. King David says to King Saul, "Im Hashem esit chabi, if it's God that got you out against me, if God spurned you on against me, let him see this, that I had compassion over you, and let it be an offering before him." Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu leDavid, God hears this conversation, and he says to David, "Mesit karitali? You call me an instigator? You said to King Saul, if God instigated you against me, let this be an offering before him. I'm an instigator? You're going to see that you're going to stumble on the simplest things, things that even children could know. When you count Israel, the Torah says, you have to give a redemption for each person. Don't count them as people. You're going to see that you're going to stumble on the smallest thing. You know, you won't need me to instigate your sin. You're blaming me for the row you have with King Saul. Miyad ve'amot satan el Yisrael v'chtiv ve'yaset et David b'em nemo lechmenei et Yisrael. So King David goes and counts the people. We know that's the story at the conclusion of the book of Samuel. Ve'kevan demaninu v'lo shakil minayu kofer. Once he counts them without taking atonement for them, v'chtiv ha'iten Hashem devil b'Yisrael ma'boker v'adet mo'ed. There was a plague, and we know thousands of people dropped dead, and it was all King David's fault for something that's an open verse in the Torah. My vadet moed, it says, the Satan went and killed people from the morning till the set time. What's the set time? Amar v'shmul saba chataned Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Shmuel, the elder, the son-in-law of Rabbi Chanina, said in the name Rabbi Chanina, mishat shchitat adamid v'ad zrikato. We have a sacrifice that's brought every morning, the tamid. They'd sacrifice the animal, and then they'd sprinkle its blood on the altar. How long does it take from the sacrifice to the sprinkling? 5 seconds? 7 seconds? I don't know. How long could it take? You know, they grab a cup, they take it, and they sprinkle it. 7 seconds, let's say, probably less. That's the amount of time that there was a plague. Thousands of people dropped dead, because the angels don't need more than a split second. Rabbi Yochanan amar ad chatzot mamash. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it was half a day. He said to the angel that was killing people, enough. My Rav, what does it mean, enough? Amar bi Elazar, amar le HaKadosh Baruch Hu lamalach, tol li Rav shebehen, sheyesh bo lipara mehen kama chovot. The Hashem said, Rav means take the rabbi. Hashem said, if the rabbi drops dead, that's equal to so many things that they owe me. And that's a rule that we have, that sometimes a giant in Israel passes away, and that's instead of thousands of other people passing away. So that's over here. Why does it say Rav? Hashem said to the angel, Rav. Chazal say Hashem was telling him, take the Rav. Take the rabbi and stop killing the people. And that's what happened. Botasha met Avishai ben Tsruya. That's when King David's nephew Avishai ben Tsruya, the great general, passed away. Sheshakul ki rubash Sanhedrin. That he was such a giant in Torah that he equaled the majority of the high court. He was such a giant, he was equal to 36 of the high court. It says, as things were being destroyed, Hashem saw something and said, enough, I don't want to do any more evil. What did Hashem see? So Rav says he saw our patriarch Yaakov Avinu. It says, when Yaakov saw the angels, So he said, this is the camp of Hashem. So that's what Hashem saw, the merit of Yaakov. That's what stopped the plague. Another understanding is, what did Hashem see? Shmuel Amar, Efrosh El Yitzchak Ra. Hashem saw the ashes of Isaac. Shneimar Elokim Yirelo Aseh. Avram said, let this burnt sheep be equated with the ashes of my son. My son was almost burnt. I was ready to do it. So that was the merit Hashem saw. Rav Yitzchak Nafra Amar, Kesef Kippurim Ra. Shneimar Velakachta Et Kesef HaKippurim. Rav Yitzchak, who was a blacksmith, he said, Hashem saw the money that Israel had given as atonement during the counts of the building of the Mishkan back in the desert. That was their atonement. As it says, take the money of atonement. Rav Yochanan amar bet hamikdash ra. Rav Yochanan says, the thing that protected us was when Hashem saw the Temple Mount. Tichtiv bar Hashem yira'e. So here we have an interesting idea that something from years past can be a merit even today. Yaakov Avinu, Yitzchak, the money they gave for atonement, the place that the temple would be built on. So that's something to think about. We'll finish the Gemara. Two more lines. Pligi bar Rabbi Yaakov barid v'yashmu banachman, echad mar kesef kipurim rav, echad mar bet hamikdash ra. There's a machlokas, whether another two opinions, whether it was the money they gave for atonement or the temple. Umistaba kemanda mar bet hamikdash ra, shneimar yamer hayom bar Hashem yirei. And the Gemara sides with the opinion that what Hashem saw was the Temple Mount. So this needs a lot of work. The simple understanding of this Gemara is that it says in the story that David HaMelech went up and purchased the Temple Mount, and that's when the plague stopped. So that's why Hashem would see the Temple Mount. The Temple Mount represents the connection, the unification of Israel. Every tribe donated their portion. It was owned by everyone. And it represents our connection to Hashem. What did we see today? Who remembers? We began with the story of Rav Safra, who was in the bathroom. His Rebbe came and he said, taken. Rebbe, go to the next one. And then his Rebbe asked him, why are you acting like the Edomites that you talk in the bathroom? The Mishnah teaches us it's more modest not to talk. And the Gemara said, the reason he spoke, even though it's not considered a thing of modesty, was because he felt it would be dangerous, because it's very unhealthy for a person to stop what he's doing midway. Then we had the story of Rabbi Elazar, who was in the bathroom and a Persian came and kicked him out, and then the Persian got maimed by a snake. Then we had the story of King David speaking to his father-in-law and describing how it was said to kill you and there was mercy upon you. So who said? King David says, the Torah says I could have killed you. Because you're a Rodev, the Torah teaches if someone tries to kill someone else, he should get up and kill him first. And what saved you was your modesty, that King Saul went behind two gates within two caves and still set up a little fence around himself out of modesty. King David cut the corner of his coat, and our sages say he who derides clothing in his life, at the end of his life, he will ultimately not have benefit from the clothing. Oh. I was waiting for someone to ask that. So now think, can you answer that question yourself? What would you say?
That's what I remember.
He did it, you're right. He did it to illustrate to Shaul that he could have killed him. Granted. So what's the answer?
He could have left him an order.
It seems from the Gemara that he could have done something else. And that as giant as David was, who else would have spared him? Anyone else would have killed him. And you see how giant David was, but the rule that Chazal teaches is that with tzaddikim, Hashem goes a hair's width. And here we see that on some level, the Talmud is saying there was this element where he cut the coat because he didn't think it made too much of a difference. That it did stem on some level from a disregard to clothing. You're right. In general, we would say, hey, what's wrong? He's a giant. Right, he is a giant. And even so, there was some nuance within his personality that was off. And that's where what Chazal were coming to point out. So we take it on our level. On our level, we just have to be more respectful of clothing. But on his level, it was a nuance, something tiny.
But isn't there something to remember the clothing of the king? It wasn't just some clothing that. color. It was, he was more than just showing that he could have killed him. It was showing a little bit of disrespect in a certain way to cutting the king clothing. It's more, because he could have arranged some kind of sign. But when we go up to the person and cut their clothing, Yishmashub is outside of just doing a different sign.
So that you see from the continuation of the story, because the Navi records that after he did it, he felt bad that he did it. After he did it, it says David HaMelech felt terrible that he cut King Saul's cloak. Yeah, yeah. It's worth mentioning that when the prophet Samuel, when Shmuel said to King Saul, to Shaul, that he lost the throne, so it says he turned to go, and he grabbed his coat and it tore. And Shmuel said, Hashem tore the kingdom from you. So there are two approaches among the commentaries. Does it mean, the way we would simply read, that Shmuel turned to go, Shaul grabbed his coat, Shmuel's coat tore, and Shmuel says to Shaul, oh, you just tore my coat, Hashem tore the kingdom from you? Or, according to some of the commentaries, he turned to go, and he went to Shaul before he left, and he grabbed the king Saul's coat and tore it, and said to King Saul, God has torn the kingdom from you. The next one who tears your coat is the one that's going to take the kingdom from you. And then David was really living out that prophecy here. And even so, on some level, he should have been better in his regard to the clothing. Or you could say these are conflicting midrashim. You could say that according to that midrash he was okay, and according to this he wasn't. Then the Gemara said, David says to Saul, if God instigated you against me, and God says, what are you talking about? I instigate people? You're going to see that you could fall on the smallest thing, that even children know better than that. You're going to count people without giving a proper atonement for it. And then the Gemara explored, when did all the people die in that plague? Was it 7 seconds? Was it half a day? And finally Hashem says to the angel, Rav, which the Gemara says means just take the Rav and stop killing the masses. Yes?
Did God take away his free will?
Who? By...
And God said, oh, I instigate people. Well, now watch what you're going to do.
Watch what you're going to do. The simple reading is, I don't have to make people do bad. Look at you. You're going to mess up without my... I'm the simplest thing. You don't need me to instigate. You're blaming me. There's more to be said. You're right, because that's not the only interpretation. And not only that, the Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim introduces the story with Vayamod Satan al Yisrael, which certainly seems to go in line with what you're saying, that there was a godly hand in causing King David to sin here. And then you need to explore that, meaning that I was avoiding that shot, but if you want, next time we have to go into that, because then what's the conversation here? King David says, if God instigated you, and God says, I instigate? Oh, now you'll see me instigate. What kind of answer is that? That can't be what's going on here. That's why I prefer to go the other course. But if you want, we could explore this next time if you remind me. And finally, the Gemara asked, what did Hashem see that stopped the plague? What merit was it? Yaakov Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, the ashes of Yitzchak Avinu, the money they had given for atonement in the desert, or the temple? And the Gemara sides with the understanding that it was the temple.